Perek Elu Metzios, the second Perek Bo Metzia here on Chaf Aleph, is dedicated to the mitzvah which is presented by the Torah in Parshas Ki Seitze of Hashavas Aveda. In what cases, in what situations do we have to return an object that we find? The Torah speaks about Simla, that you found a garment. And why does the Torah choose to speak about garment? And the answer is because that becomes the paradigm for a Dover Sheesh Bo Simon. Every garment looks a little bit different, especially they didn't have mass manufacturing like we do today. These were homemade clothes. If, on the other hand, it's not Dumya de Simla, it doesn't have a Simon, then the Bailama Mesiyashim. And that introduces a very unique concept to this Perek. And that's called Yeyush. We've had Yeyush in Bava Kamma with regard to Gzela, but the primary case of Yeyush is Yeyush in Aveda. This parak is going to discuss the mitzvah, as we said, of Hashavas Aveda, how you return an object when you're obligated to do so, Hachraza, what care and tipul you have to dedicate for the object to make sure that it's protected. If it's an animal, it's well fed, all on behalf of the one who lost the object, the ma'abed. And of course, the lav of lo sucha l'salim, and when that lav applies. The case of the Mishnah is going to be what's called peros mifuzarim. Elu mitziya shalo, the Elu Chayv Lahachris. The Mishnah is offering us two lists. The first list enumerates those cases where the finder is allowed to keep what he finds. And presumably that's because the object that he finds has no simon. And therefore, shalom means that he's allowed to keep it for himself, in contrast to Chayv Lahachris. So those cases where he's allowed to keep it, he's not Chayv Lahachris. And the Tana wants to teach us that these things that you find are yours. Not only that you're not Chayv Lahachris, if somehow the Bailim gets wind of the fact, the original owner, that you found it, and he comes to claim it, and he can prove it's his, it's irrelevant. Harei Elu Shalo. And that's based on the Halach of Yeyush. Now, later on in the Masechta and in the Perek, we're going to speak about the Achroza that took place in Yerushalayim at the time of Aliyah L'Regel, when the Beis HaMikdash stood. However, in our time, after the Churban, Achroza takes place in Bati Knesios, in Bati Midrashos, perhaps also in other public places. The Mabit, in his commentary on the Rambam in Hilchos Gzeila V'Aveda, establishes, based on a Mishnah a little bit later on in our Perek, that the Mishnah establishes Simla as the paradigm of a Dover Sheish Bo Simon. It's a Yesh Lo Tovim, and therefore Yechayv and Achroza. It would seem, based on this drasha of Simla, which is formulated in the Mishnah later on, that the Chiyuv Achroza is Doraisa. The Meshech Chachma, in his Pirush al HaTorah in Ki Seitzei, assumes that Hachroza is only Takonis Chachamim. Now, as far as the first case on the list, Elu Mitziya Shalo Motza Peros Mefuzarim, he finds fruits that are spread out, the Gemara immediately is going to discuss what the shiur of Pizur, what constitutes Pizur, and therefore engenders Yeish Bailim. If you take a look at Rashi, Dima Maskel Elu, Rashi already mentions Nisyashu Abailim, and then he goes on and he says, Vehefker Hein. Rashi goes on record as saying, and this will be very important for our discussions later on in the Perek, that Yeyush generates Hefker. Yeyush is Mafkia Bailus. Tosus, not here, but back in Bava Kamma, is of the opinion that Yeyush does not generate Hefker. And this is a subject of the Ketzos and the Nesivos for a long discussion about the difference between Yeush and Hefker. Hefker means that the Bailus is completely paka, as if the Bailum had declared their objects as Hefker. Yeush, however, is something that allows someone to take the object without any obligation to return it, but the object still remains until such time as somebody takes it in the Rishus and the Bailus of the original owner. So Yeush, according to Tosfos, is not Mafkia Bailus, it's not identical with Hefker. But Rashi goes on record as identifying Yeush with Hefker. Then the Mishnah has a second case of Harel Shalom, that's Krichos Birshus Aravim. These are, shall we say, bundles of tvua, of grains, and he finds them in a public place. And that implies that even if there is a simon, let's say, for example, the kesher would be a simon, nevertheless, since many people go there, it's quite, how shall I say, predictable that the simon is going to be destroyed by those who pass by. And that's going to be the sugya later on, which we'll have in the next year, Mirtz Hashem, of Simon Ha'osui Lidores. And our Mishnah seems to reflect the Shita that Simon Ha'osui Lidores Lav Shmei Simon, that if we can assume and anticipate the Simon is going to be marred, it's going to be destroyed by passers-by, then the Bailim on Mesiyash, they're not going to rely on such a Simon. And that Sugi is going to be on Chav Beis Amid Beis, a Machloka Samuraim, with regard to a Siman Ha'asui Lidoris, is there a Chiyuv of Hachroza, or is there no Chiyuv of Hachroza? The third case enumerated by the Mishnah is Igule Dvela. What they used to do is, they used to dry figs, and the dried figs were set up on a certain string that would attach them in a sort of a round kind of way. That's called the eagle. Eagle always indicates a round shape. And this was done after the figs were dried in the fields. They were pounded, and then they were formed into this eagle. It's sort of like one gush, you know, one pounded piece of dried fig. And this is again a case of a Dover Shein Bo Simon. You know, this was quite classical and common in those days, and all Igule Dvelos basically looked identical. How could you identify it? And that's the same for the rest of the Mishnah too. Kikro Shel Nachtum, we're talking about the breads that were baked professionally for sale, for market, in the bakeries. And those two were all the same, they were uniformed, and there's no simon. In the case of Bala Bayis, no two challah bakers bake the same exact challah, and therefore you can presumably have a simon, there will be a chiyuv achroza. And then we have the case, Machrozos Sheldogim is next on the list. Again, the fishermen would have a very uniform kind of way in which they sold fish. They would take the fish and they would attach all the fish in one machrozo, which means they would sort of sew it together with a very strong thread. And again, it's a Dover Shein Bo Simon, v'chaticho shel basar. You know, there was a certain kind of uniform way that you cut meat. Gizei tzemer lekuchim mimidinasam. These are bundles of wool. After the wool was sheared off the back of these sheep, they were imported from other countries, and they were sold on the market. And the way that these gizei tzemer, these chavilos, these bundles of wool were transported and sold, was quite standard, and therefore there was no simon. Now, there are other types of Gizei Tzemer, which aren't Lekuchim Imedinasam, as the Mishnah qualifies. They came from the Beis HaUman, meaning the professionals would get this wool and they would process the wool and then sell it, and they would also create these chavilos, but they would do it in a way where there was a siman. And in the language of the Tiferes Yisrael, who's super commentary on our Mishnah, he writes, Derech ha'umnin sha'osim siman begizos hamuvos aleihem kidei sheyedu shalmihem. Now, since this was a professional kind of preparation of the gizos, each professional had his own sort of unique style, his own shtempel, and that was done so that it, you know, people would identify it as his. And that might have been done for marketing purposes, and it had a siman. But those olkuchim mimidinasam, you know, those were almost like the raw wool that was just sent over for, you know, transported for sale purposes. Those had no siman; they were pretty much uniform. Vanitze pishtan, and we're talking about bundles of linen. You know, the linen itself was what's called minupats. That's one of the various malachas on Shabbos, in order to remove the lint and all sorts of and to purify it. But once again, it was a davar shein bo siman. Lishona shalar gamon. This was wool that was combed and stretched in a way that it formed like a lashon, like almost like a tongue, and it was colored with argamon. Argamon is a kind of a scarlet color, and these were standardized, and they were sold on the market, and they have no siman. Is the Mishnah says, Hare Elu Shalom. Now it's very interesting that the Mishnah began with the words Elu Metziah Shein Shalom, and it concludes with Hare Elu Shalom. A very kind of strange repetition, but I guess that's the style, that since the Mishnah is now about to tell us in what cases you would be Chayv and Achrozah, so the Mishnah ends, you know, forms like a bookend here, and it says Hare Eil Shalom. There's also a comment here in the name of the Parat Yosef that the intention of the Mishnah when it says in the first Hare Eil Shalom is that there's no Chiv Achroza. It doesn't yet really emphasize that you can take the object for yourself and pocket it. That's where the Mishnah at the end re-emphasizes this point and tells us that that you can keep it for yourself. The part Yosef writes, again, this has to be taken under advisement. I wouldn't have said this, that between the original picking up of the object and the point at which you can take it for yourself, there's a certain period in which you wait to see if maybe the Bailim will come with Adam, with his witnesses, to adduce evidence to the effect that it is actually his. Again, I find that very difficult because we're talking about a davar shein bo siman. I'm not exactly sure how the Eidim would know to identify the owner of the object. In any event, according to Rashi, as we saw in all these cases enumerated in the Mishnah, the object is hefker. It's a lost object that has no siman on it. And the point that we want to emphasize here is that this is not an exhaustive list. These are the classical cases, you know, Divra Kosa Behove, that the Mishnah addresses, but really it's a Dovar She'ein Bo Simon. And we're going to soon see that according to Abaye, who holds Yesh Shalom Midas, Lo Aviyesh, again, all that is Chinese to us right now, we'll get to this later on in the Shia Mirtz Hashem, is then, why did the Mishnah single out these cases and enumerate these? What's unique about these cases? Why not just Dovar Shein Bo Siman in general? The answer is that these cases are cases which are not to be classified and described as Yeish Shalom Midas, but rather these are Yeish Midas cases. And in each case, as the Gemara will clarify, the Bailim who lost the object know about the loss. They're very much aware of the loss, and the Yeish is therefore built in, either because they're weighty, they're expensive, different explanations of each case. And therefore, these cases were deliberately mentioned and enumerated in the Mishnah in order to establish that these cases are the exception to the rule. They are Yesh Midas. According to Rav, on the other hand, who holds Yesh Shalom Midas Lo Aviyeush, the Mishnah is unusually wordy and giving a long list of cases in order to indicate that some of these cases are Yesh Shalom Midas cases. There's a fascinating insight of the Ritva here, if we had time for it, not today, to enumerate why the Mishnah had to enumerate all the cases. And the Ritva's challenge is that in each case he finds a separate chidush. For example, in the first case of Peros, Umos, Mefuzarim, that's a case of Yesh Shalom Midas. In the case of Krichos, the chidush is that Makom is not a simon because it's moved from place to place. In the case of, for example, Igulei Dvela, the finder is only going to announce that he found a Dvela. The Ma'abi, the one who lost it, is going to say it's Igul. He found it in a round shape. And that might have been in the Havmina Simon in Kikros. Shel Nachtum, the Tsurosam is not considered a Simon. Chaticha Shel Bosar, that the Mokum is not a Simon. In Gizei Tzemer, the Chiddush is that the Tzuras Kshirosam is not a Simon. Beautiful presentation of the Ritva. Let's go on in the Mishnah right now. The Mishnah concludes this whole first Reisha presentation by saying Divrei Rabbi Meir. And Rabbi Yehuda adds, Omer Kol Sheyesh Bo Shinui Chayv Lahachus. In other words, shinui means that there's something unusual about the object that has a simon. The bialim is not going to be misyayish. And therefore, keitzad motza igol ubesocho cheres, even though we said in the Mishnah that igulei dvela have no simon, but if there's some strange identifying mark about this igul dvela, for example, inside you'll find a piece of china, or kikar ubesocho mos, you bought a bread and inside the bread there are coins, that is a simon, that's such an obvious, unique feature of the object, it's one in a million, and therefore you'd be chayv lahachriz in such a case. It could be, I don't know, that the Tanakhama is of the opinion that even in these unusual cases, harelu shalo, although we'll have to understand why, and that's going to be a sugya later on Daf Chaf Gimel. Rabbi Shimon Elazar omer to complete the Mishnah, kol klei anforia ein chayv lahachris. If you have manufactured dishes or other utensils that are brand new, and there's no simon, is you don't have to be machris. And the chiddush is, what's the significance of the fact that they're new? If they used, then there's something called Tvias Ayin, and we spoke about this recently in the first parak of Bava Metzia, that you might recognize it. You got used to it, and you can recognize your object. Look at it and say, that's mine. But in the case of Anporia, which is brand new, the Bailim, the owner, did not have time to get used to his object. He doesn't have a Tvias Ayin, and therefore, Eino Chayev Lahachus. It would seem from the language of Rabbi Shimon Elazar that if somehow the Bailim found out about this, that namely that Ploni Almoni discovered his object and is possessing it, maybe the Bailim would be believed to say that although it was brand new, I could still identify it. I got to know it in a very short period of time. And then maybe he would have to return it. I don't know. It just says, Eino Chayv Lahachus. The Gemara says, Motza peris mefuzarim v'kama. As we indicated before, the Mishnah has not yet spilled the beans, again, pardon the pun, on how spread out these beans are. On Rabbi Yitzchak, kav b'arba amos. So there's a shetach, an area which is 4 by 4 amos. It's what you call 4 square amos. And if a kav, which is a certain volume of peros, of tvua, which was lost and spread out in an area this wide, and there are two factors here that have to be, two variables that have to be calculated into the equation. Number one, if they're spread out in a smaller area, then it's a lot easier to collect them. It takes a lot less tircha. And number two, if it's a lot more than a kav, then it becomes so expensive and so valuable that no one's gonna just look the other way and say, well, I don't want to do this tircha. You know, if diamonds fell, you're gonna pick up the diamonds. So the Gemara says, l'chora, we have a mimon of shachir. Now, at this point in the sugya, the Gemara is assuming that we're dealing here with the normal classical mechanism of harel shalo, it's yeush, there's davar shein bo simon. Let's assume, for example, like Rava, that yeush shalo midas, have a yeush, and even if he doesn't know that these fruits have fallen, nevertheless, since when he'll find out, it'll be misyayish, it's already yeush. And this is what Rabbi Yitzchak is assuming. If that be the case, the Gemara has a very strong argument. Mimonafshach, heichidami, what's the case? Iderech nefila. If you found it in a way that indicates that the Bailim lost it, I mean, obviously, you know, it rolled out of their wagon, I mean, it's mefuzar and it's spread out, is then afilu tuva nami. Even if it's spread out in a way that there's more than just a kav, there's a greater concentration of fruits or wheat, you know, grains that are within this dalet amos, it should still be areil shalo, because there is no simon. And if there is no simon, the bailim are misyayish. And let's assume now, like Rava, yeish shalom midas havi yeish. But ve'ider chinuach, if somehow you can see it's nikar, it's recognizable that he, the owner, put it in that place. Again, I don't know why he was spreading them out, but he did it for some logical reason, and you could see it. Again, I don't know how you could see it. Is then afilu batzim yachi, even if they were spread out over a wider area, nami lo, you cannot say areil shalo. I mean, areil shalo is only b'derech nefila, not b'derech chinuach. In other words, as Rashi points out, in any Aveda, in our Mishnah, what we're talking about is a question of Derech Nefila. If it was Derech Hinuach, then you're not allowed to take it. You have to wait for the Bailim to come back and retrieve their object. Now, if you take a look at Rashi, Divra Maskel De'i, Rashi says, now, let's go back to our Mishnah for just one moment. We have the case of krichos, which you find in a private area. And lechora, if it would, well, I should say this. The Mishnah speaks about krichos b'shus harab. But if it were krichos b'shus hayochid, then we could talk about derech hinuach. If, let's say, in his private property, he's got bundles of wheat and they are being protected in his private property, then you couldn't take it because, even though it's a davar shein bo simon, but it's derech hinuach. And that's rishus hayochid. But in a case of rishus harabim, that's already derech nefila. And there we have a real serious question of hashavas aveda. Now, there's a Tosis Dima Maskel Krichos, which we didn't get to, but according to Tosis, it seems that in Rishus HaYochid, we don't have the Din of Derech Hinuach Lo Yitol, because if it's not Mishtamer, if it's within a Rishus HaYochid, a private area, but it's not protected, it's so close to the Rishus HaRam that anyone could come off and just steal it, then then we can assume Yeush, even though it's a Rishus HaYochid. Rashi seems to be assuming that when you find something in Rishus HaYochid, that by definition is an assumption of Derech Hinuach, and there's no Yeush. Tosis seems to have a different sheet. In any event, just to summarize the Gemara's Kasha, Rabbi Yitzchak is telling us that Peres Mufuzarin is Kav Barba Amos, but either it's Derech Nefila, and then who cares how spread out it is, that's all irrelevant because there's no Simon, or it's Derech Hinuach, and then in any case, we have to leave it as is. We can't take it for ourselves. What does it mean, Arei Elu Shelo? And the Gemara answers that you're misunderstanding the Mishnah. The Mishnah is not talking about the classical case of an Aveda, but rather what's called an Aveda Midas. Om Rav Ukva Bar Chama V'machdashta D'Beit Dori Askinon. We're talking about that time period in the agricultural cycle of the year in which it's the Asifa, that's around this time of the year, Sukkot time, and people are taking their Tvua out of the Goren is the granary, which is the place where they did the disha of the Tvua, you know, the winnowing, and there are now pieces of grain, various kernels of grain that are spread out throughout a wide area, as we said, an area of 4 amos on 4 amos, and the Mishnah is of the opinion that if it's kav be'arba amos, as Rabbi Yitzchak says, since it's nafish tirchayu, it's a great deal of effort to try to gather together these kernels of grains that were spread out throughout the machnash to the beidori, then lo tarch inchi, he's not even going back, he's well aware of these grains. This is not a classical case of Aveda. But lo hadar osi shokel, he's not going to go back and take them, afkure mafker lehu. And here we're not dealing with yeish, but we're dealing with hefker. And that's called hefker midas, a deliberate, you know, cognizant hefker. Botzer mihachi, if however the tefuah is these kernels of grains are spread out in the granary in the goren in a much more limited area and there's not so much work in order to gather them, is hadar asi v'shakeluhu. He's going to come back, and when he gets his first free moment, he's going to collect them. V'lo mafkel, he's not interested in making them hefker. Now, you know, one could wonder why the Gemara felt compelled to explain our Mishnah as a machnash to the Beidari. Why couldn't the Mishnah say that it was just derech nefila? And as is, if it's derech nefila, we're not interested in the kamus, in the volume of grains, of wheat. And if you take a look at Tosus, Dibra Maskel Vakama, Rabbi Yitzchak wanted to square this Mishnah with Abaye, and he was assuming that all these cases in the Mishnah would be Yeish Shalomidas. How could it be there for the Mishnah establishes that you're allowed to keep them? And that's what compelled Rabbi Yitzchak to interpret our Mishnah as a case of Machnashta Debei Dari. Now, by way of introduction to the Suffolk Rabbi Yirmiyah, let's just reiterate that in Rabbi Yitzchak's Kav B'Arba Amos, we have two factors here. It's a very limited value and a very large tircha. So you have a double negative. It's like tar to the race. So what happens if one of these variables change, the other remains constant? So for example, Boy Rabbi Yirmiyah Chatzi Kav B'Shte Amos Mahu. Now the grains are spread out in a much smaller area, and one could ostensibly argue that there's less tircha in collecting them, but on the other hand, it's half the value. So how do we view Rabbi Yitzchak? Is it only in this case that the value, that the tircha element, you know, variable is very high? Is kav b'arba amos taima ma'mishum denofish tirchayu? So the main thrust of Rabbi Yitzchak's harelu shalom is because of the exceedingly hard work that one must invest in order to collect these grains. But in the case of chatzi kav b'shte amos kevon de lo nofish tirchayu lo mafkir lehu, it's within a very relatively a smaller area. It's half the area. Oh, Dilma, shall we say no? The main thrust and the primary variable here in Rabbi Yitzchak is the lo chashivi, because given that amount of tirch in Dalet Amis, then a kav is not worth it for him. And if that be the case, then in a case of in chatzi kav, even though it's shtei amos, so you've lowered the rate of tircha, but nevertheless, kevon d'lo chashivi mafkir lehu, it's not worth it for him, even in that limited tircha. And now Rabbi Yirmi gives another variation, another scenario. Kabayim bishmonam. So let's say we double the value, but we also increase by much the tircha element. Ma'u, shall we say, kav biarba amos taima mai mishum denofish tirchayu, is kolshkein kabayim bishmona amos kevin denofishi tirchayu tfei mafkir lahu. Here, in the case of shmona amos, we are doubling or tripling the tircha element. If the thrust of Rabbi Yitzhak is that he's not going to go back and collect this, you know, these grains, these kernels, because of the tircha element, and how much more so in the case of Shmona Amos, O Dilma, perhaps the primary variable in the equation of Rabbi Yitzchok is Mishum Delo Chashivi, because one Kav is just not worth it for him. But Kabayim, when you double it, Bishmona Amos, is even though you've certainly jacked up the Tircha variable, but nevertheless, the primary variable here is the value. And Kevin Dechashivi, Lo mafkir lahu, he's not going to be mafkir. So again, we have these two cases of chatzi kav b'shtei amos and kabayim b'shmona amos. In the case of chatzi kav, the issue is going to be that you've neutralized or reduced significantly the tircha element, but at the same time you've reduced the value element. Here, in the second suffix of Rabbi Yirmiya, of kabayim b'shmona amos, you've increased both the tircha and the value. And again, both of Rabbi Yirmiya's sveikos really revolve around, you know, changing the variables in a commensurate way. You know, you've lowered the tircha element, but commensurate to that, you've also lowered the value. Or, on the contrary, you've raised the tircha element, but you've raised the value. And a similar kind of suffik is kav shumshumim biarba amos. Here too, what you've done is, in the case of shumshumim, you've increased the tircha, but at the same time you've increased the value. There's much more at stake here in terms of value. Mau kav biarba amos time in my mission lo chshivi shumshumim came with the chshivi lo mafkelo dilma. Or shall we say the kav barmas mishum de nafish terchayu is kolshkein, the kolshkein shumshum, shumshumin, came with the nafish terchayu tfei, is mafkilahu. In the case of shumshumin, of sesames, they're very small little garinim, and it's going to be a heck of a lot take a heck of a lot of effort and a job, an undertaking to collect a kav of shumshumin. And therefore, if you increase the tircha, but on the other hand, you've increased also the value at stake. The Rashba is a little bit unhappy here in the Chidushim, because he says that all these sveikas of Rabbi Yirmiya seem to revolve around the same pivotal point. What's primary here, the chashivus element or the tircha element? And according to the Rashba, these various sveikos of Rabbi Yirmiya were raised at different points in different Bate Midrashos, and they were just simply collected together by Ravina Ravashi when they edited the Talmud. Conceptually, it's one suffix with different variations. Next, Kav Tamri Biarba Amos, Kav Rimoni Biarba Amos, Mahu. Rav Yirmiya continues with this line of reasoning. Is what we're going to happen is we're going to increase the value and at the same time increase at least in the case of Tamri the Tircha, let's just see, is the Arba Amos time of my Mishum Deloch Shivi but Kav Tamri Barba Amos Kavri Moni Barba Amos Nami Kaven. Oh, I'm sorry, Delo Chashivi. You know, this is the flip side of Shumshum. In the case of Tmarim and Rimonim, what we're talking about is something of less value. I guess in Eretz Yisrael, maybe these are more common fruits. And therefore, he's mafkir lahu. Odilma, shall we say, Mishum Dinafishe Terchaihu? The reason why Kav B'Arba'am is going to Rabbi Yitzchak is Ariel Shalom is because of the excess Tircha. But Kav Tamri B'Arba Amos, the Kav Rimoni B'Arba Amos, came to Lo Nofish Tirchayu, is Lo Mafkir Lahu. These are larger fruits, and they require less effort in order to collect them. Mai. And with regard to all the Sveikas that we had, is Teku. The Gemara says that these remain outstanding questions, and we have no final conclusion as to what the halacha is. So basically all these fakas apply when we either decrease or increase the torach, and in a parallel sort of way increase or decrease the value of the object that was lost. Now halacha lemaisa, in a case of teku, we can look at it in one of two ways. We could either say safek mitzvah, safek chiyuv lahachmir, and therefore the finder should not keep it for himself, he should be machriz. Or on the contrary, we could say that let him pick it up, he becomes in a sense a muchzak, and now if the bialim come and they want to prove that they weren't misyayish, there was no aveda midas and yesh midas, then the burden of proof is on them to be motzi it from the finder. So Bli Neder will take that up when we discuss the Machlokes Rishonim about Sofek Hinuach. Itmar. Now at this point we're going to turn to Daf Chaf Aleph Amid Beis and begin the very famous sugya, one of the most famous sugyas perhaps in Shas, the Machlokes Abai V'Rova, Yeh Shalom Midas, Abai Omer Lo Aviyeyush, Rova Omer, V'Rova Omer Haviyeyush. Now, by way of introduction, even though the sugyas here in Elu Mitzios and the concept of Yeush is certainly in a local Aveda concept, but nevertheless their machlokas goes way beyond the purview and the limitations of Aveda, the bounds of Aveda. And the question is, whenever you need some sort of a ratzon, some sort of an acceptance and a will, but you don't know about it, so the will is not there befoal in actuality, because how could it be there if you don't know about it? But the assumption is that when you find out about it, the will be there. Does the halacha already see that, let's say, anticipated or potential will or das as if it exists? Can we recognize it now? So in order to establish Yeush Bailam, for example, if we come back to the case of Aveda, we need to know that the Bailam are Mesiaish, but yet the Bailam are unaware of the fact that the object is lost, and in that sense, how could you postulate Yeush? And that's certainly Abai's position, Yeush Lomidas Lo Aviyeush. Where's the Yeush if the Bailam are unaware of the very reality of the fact that the object is lost? Rava comes up with a chiddush, and that is that since when he finds out about it, he'll be misyayish, now the halacha can operate with yeush in anticipation of the yeush. The yeush is as if it exists. Now, let's take Abai for a moment. What is Abai advocating here? You find an Aveda, and guess what? It's a case of Yeush Shalom Midas. You can't keep it, but on the other hand, the Bailam, when they find out about it, are going to be Misyayish. So the Shita B'Kubetzes claims that according to Abai, it's what you call Yeimunach Ad Sheyovel Yo. And what he means by that is that if the Bailam actually come forward and identify the object, exactly how that happens, I'm not sure, in the case of Yeush Shalom Midas, then you would return the object to that person. Whereas the Shach sees this in the Rambam, that what Abai means is that if afterwards we clarify who is the rightful owner of this object, you have to return it to him, but in the interim period of time, until we have that clarification, the finder could do with the object whatever he pleases, I guess without destroying it. So it's not Yehimunach, says the Shach, the way the Shittim Kubetza seems to indicate, but rather it's sort of Bechezkas yours, and you can benefit from the object until such time as somebody comes and identify it. But what's common to both the Shita and the Shach is that according to Abaye, you will be chayev in Hashava, and that's the thrust of Yesh Lomidas Lo Aviyeush, to return the object to its owner in event that the owner can prove that it is his, that he lost it. And this, I think, would support, to some extent, the approach that Yesh Lomidas is a result of Chiyuv Hashava. In other words, since the Yesh is not there before, Alabai claims that when you pick it up, the finder picks it up, he is obligated in Hashava. And Abaye holds that once that Chiyuv Hashava is Chal, a subsequent Yesh is not necessarily Mafkia, meaning when the Bailam finds out about it, and then they're going to say, wow, I don't know if I can get this back, that's not Mafkia. Alternatively, we're talking about a case where the Bailam never was Mesiaish. In other words, we assumed and anticipated the Yeush, but as it turns out, they seem to be putting in all the effort to try to track down the object and find out who found it, and they're not giving up hope. In any event, Rava is of the opinion that Havi Yeush, which means that the finder can keep it for himself, and no way, no how does he have to return it. And this machlokes is really a universal machlokes. It's very similar to another sugya, which is all over Shas, and that's Yesh Brera or Ein Brera. In which case, something becomes clear later on, and Lemafreya, we apply it as if we knew from the get-go that it was in that direction. That's what Rav is saying, that since ultimately he will be Mesiaish, we can already make that Brera now, whereas Abai is holding Ein Brera. And the Achronim are not so excited about this. The Ravid is quoted in Shita Megubetz as actually raising this point. And it could be that there's no way you could make these two issues interdependent, but rather one should undermine the distinction between the two. Because Rava might be maintaining that Yeish Shalomidas, Havi Yeish, even if at the end of the day, the Ma'abe, the one who lost his object, is Tzovech, he's yelling and screaming that he wasn't Mesiaish. And that doesn't seem to fit in with the principle of Yeish Brera. Yeish Brera means that Nisbara Dover, and therefore we say Lamafreya. But here, to say Nisbara Dover, when he's Tzovech, he yells and screams, I'm not Mesiaish, I don't give up hope, for whatever reason. And therefore, we'd like to find a different hesber to the machlokas Abaye v'Rav in such a way that it's not dependent or analogous to the case of Brera or Ein Brera. And I believe that we'll have to go a little bit weiter in the sugi before we can really come to grips with the Yesod HaPlugta here between Abaye v'Rav. What the Gemara is going to do now is clear the pathway for the case that they argue about, meaning in certain cases, Abaye maintains the position of Rava and vice versa. B'dover she'esh bo simon kuliyabo lo pligi delo aviyeish. Meaning, in a case of a dover she'esh lo simon, Rava agrees that there's a chiyuv hashava, and when you pick it up, you're chayv in hashava, and period. That's irreversible. Afal gav de shamina de miyash besov. Even if testimony comes in to establish that when he found out about the loss, he was in fact Mesiaish, doesn't matter, it's a Dover Sheish Lo Simon, and there's no Yeush. The Chiyuv HaShava, once it's Chal, is set in stone, and even a Rav accepts that principle. There's no way of being Mafkia, the Chiyuv HaShava. And that's called in the Lashon HaShas, the Chiyasa Liyade, the moment that the finder picked it up, Be'isura Hu Di'asa Liyade. I think the word Isuri is a little bit confusing. What it means is the Chiyuv Hashava. Now, as we said at the outset, Hashava Zavei, there's two dimensions to it. There's the mitzvah of Hoshev Teshivim, there's also the Isur of Losucha L'Salem. And that's going to be a sugya later on, the exact relationship between the essay and the losa. So, but let's assume that when the Gemara used the term Bisura Asliyadeh, it's referring to the fact that once there's a chiyuv hashava, you're not allowed to take it for yourself, and perhaps if you do so, you might even be violating an iser gezel, but certainly at the very least, you're violating an iser of lo suchal lis'ale. To say gzela, it's a little bit difficult because he doesn't have kavanas gzela, but more likely the Gemara is referring to the chiyuv hashava. And the Gemara clarifies this and embellishes it. The Gemara says, "Dilchi yada nafal minei lo miyayish, meimar omar simona isli begavei, yahivne simona vishkilna le." So the Gemara explains why there's no yeyushia, and that's why when the finder picks it up, he becomes chayev in hashav. And the reason for that is that when we can really assume that when the loser, the ma'abid, finds out that he lost the object, he will not be misyayish because there's a simon in the object. He's going to say, simon isle begave, I have a simon, yahivna simon, I'll give the simon, vishakil nale, and they'll return the object. So he really is holding out for a great deal of hope that he will get the object back, and therefore he's not misyayish. Now, what would be in a case where a person lost the Dovah Sheish Bo Siman, but he was misyayish before the finder picked it up? In such a case, then for sure Yeish would be Chal, even though it's a Dovah Sheish Bo Siman. Here we're talking about a case, and that's Abaye and Rava, where the Yeish came after the Aveda came Liyada, because only later on he found out. But if he, the loser, knew about it right up front, and he was misyayish, then that's enough for the Yeish to be Chal. And let's talk about Tosas and Baba Kama for a moment. Tosas and Baba Kama is of the opinion that since there's a Chiyuv HaShava that was Chal before Yeush, Yeush is not Mafkia the Chiyuv HaShava, which might mean that the Yad of the Motzi is like the Yad of a Shomer, which is like the Yad of the Bailim, and it's kind of like Yeush Birshus. And we'll discuss that in a different occasion. The Ramban here in Bava Metzia has a different twist on this. And he says that Yeush is Birshus Bailim, as I said before. So although Tosas says the Chiyuv HaShava is not Paka with Yeush, I believe that Tosas himself in Bava Kama is predicated on the same exact identical svar as the Ramban, that how could Yeish be Mafkia Chiyuv HaShava when there is no such thing as Yeish? Yeish is not valid if, let's say, I haven't located a certain set of keys, you know, that are lost somewhere in my house. That's not Yeish. Yeish is only on an Aveda. And this Rabosa really begins to open up vistas and give us a little bit of a shed of light on the dark, mysterious cloud that surrounds Yeish. Yeish is really related to the Aveda. If it's in my Rishus, that's not called an Aveda. I may not know it's in Rishus. I may not know where to find it in my Rishus, but it's in my Rishus. Aveda is when it leaves my Rishus. In a certain sense, it's like Zela. If you remember, the Gemara says in Bava Kama that once something is stolen, even before the Gazan has acquired ownership on it through some sort of method of kinyan, nevertheless, Ein HaNigzal, the owner of the object, Yochol LaHakdisho, because the Bailus is already has already begun to wane, and is already limited. It's already limited. It's been damaged because of the Shem Gezel, which means that the object is out of the Rishus of the Nigzal. Here too, in the case of Aveda, if and when we're talking about an Aveda out of the Rishus of the Baal Aveda, then the Bailus is already, shall we say, a quasi-Bailus. It's not a complete Bailus. We're already chipping away and beginning to undermine and limit the Bailus of the owner of the object because it's Avud. The Yeish comes along and sort of strengthens that reality of Avud. In other words, as long as the Bailam is running around with a great deal of hope and optimism, trying to get his object back and find it, and so forth and so on, that's not considered Avud. it's not avud because the Bialim are actively seeking it out. But once the Bialim despair and they give up, oylu l'chisar kis, that's yeush, then at that point it's really avud. And the avud means that it's left the rishus of the Bialim in almost a permanent kind of a way. Comes along Rava, and he says that in the case of a davar sheyesh bo simon, that chiyuv is established if the finding of the finder preempted, predated the yesh of the Baal Aveda. And once the chiyuv hashav is chal, there's no room for yesh, because again, the object is considered within the reshus of the Bialim. It's a davar sheyesh bo simon, because we can not only obligate the finder to return it, but we can assume the finder will in fact return it. He's a self-appointed shomer on behalf of the Bialim. He doesn't know who the mafkid is, who the owner is, but he is operating on behalf of the mafkid. That's the wonderful thing about Hashavas Aveda. So then, again, just emphasize and re-emphasize, Rava would agree that once the Chiyuv Hashava was Chal, and that's based on the fact that it's a Davar Sheyesh Lo Siman, there's no anticipated Yeush, then in that case, even if at the end of the day the owner of the object, the one who lost the object, is Misyayish, it's not going to make any difference. Even if Shamanush and Misyayish Basov, it doesn't matter, because that's called Yeush Birshus. And that's the Ramban here in Eilu Metzias. Now the Gemara goes on and sets up another case where there's no machlokes, but here we're going in the opposite direction. Here, Abaye will accept the position of Rava, Bezuto Shel Yam, which means that something, you know, was lost. It was on the beach and it was very close to the water, and the waters came and washed it away and took it into the Yam, into the sea. Or Shliluso Shel Nahar, it's on the banks of a river, and the river came along and swept it into this object into the river. This is called avud mimenu umikol adam. You know, nobody has a chance of finding this. This is real avud, and therefore, even Abai will agree that the afagav de isle siman rachmana shariyeh de be'inu lemeim kida be'inu lemeim lekamon. As the Gemara is going to explain later on, despite the siman, since it's avud mimenu mikol adam, there's a built-in yeush. It's a shame avud. The shame avud is complete. We don't have to, you know, we're not talking about a case where the object itself is not avud, just that there's no chance that there's very little hope that he'll return it because there's no siman. No. Now we're talking about a case where it's objectively avud, and therefore the shame avud is mafkia bailus. And Rashi says in Bava Kamma that in the case of Zuta Shliyam operates midin yeush. The Ram also seems to indicate that, but the Ramban is going to argue with Rashi, and he's going to say that we're not dealing with yeush. The Bialim are not even aware of the fact that the river swept away their planks of wood or whatever it swept away. That's called Yesh Shalomidas, but the Torah was mafkir this, and the Ramban indicates that that's the language of the Gemara here, derachmona shariyeh, and the Ramban is not willing to say that Zutei Shiyam is a subcategory or an application of the general din of Yesh, as Rashi has it. But in any event, Rabbo say, I don't know of a definite nafkamina between Rashi and the Ramban. Obviously, there's a conceptual argument, but I think ultimately they're both saying the same thing. And that is that in the case of Zuto Shel Yam, Shluso Shel Nar, the Torah allows you to take this Aveda. There's no Chiv Hashav on the Aveda because the object is Ovud. And that's what Rashi means by Yeush, that there's a built-in Yeush over here. I don't think Rashi means a Yeush befall, and you have to apply the principle of Butler Daita to Kolodim if he wasn't Messiah. I think it's Yeush in the objective sense that the object is lost. Key pligi. Oh, now we get to the field of the Machlokis. B'davar she'ein bo simon, And we're assuming now that since there's no semen, the Bailam don't hold out much hope to return to get the object back. But right now, in the interim time, I picked it up, the finder picks it up, and the Bailam don't even know that it's lost. You can't tell me that there's Yeush here if the Bailam are not even aware of the fact that it fell from them, that they lost the object. Since when he finds out that it's lost, however long of a period of time that came, the Nofamine, is Miyayish. He's going to, in fact, be Misyayish. He has no Simon. Is Meimar Omar Simona Lesle Begave. He certainly convinces himself that there's no logical reason to hold out any hope over here. He doesn't have a Simon, and he won't be able to identify who's going to return it to him. Is therefore Mehashta Hu de Miyayish. Again, the language here is a little bit difficult. What do you mean, Hu de Miyayish? He's not being Miyayish. He doesn't even know it fell. But rather, it's considered Alpidin as if it is Yeush. And in a sense, we are working with a kind of Lemafreya situation here. And that's the way Rav Baruch Ber understood in Birch HaShmuel, that Yeush operates according to Rav Lemafreya, meaning since when he finds out about his Misyayish, now also he's Misyayish, and we're operating with Lemafreya. But I don't know that we have to introduce Lemafreya here. I think what Rav is saying more likely is that the Chefetz itself, inherent in the Chefetz, has Yeush built into it because it's like Zuto Shel Yam. It's objectively lost. The Shem Avud is complete. I don't need the Yeush Befal in order to complete the Shem Avud. And that, I think, just simply circumvents the whole issue about Lemafreya. I don't think we have to introduce Lemafreya. In any event, we're about to embark upon is an entire list of Toshmas. Some of them are coming to defend Rava and generate questions on Abai, and some in the reverse direction. Toshma. Peros Mefuzarim Holo Yoda Dinofomine. Okay, the Gemara now is going back to our original Hava Mina, that Peros Mefuzarim operates Midin classical Yeush. And the Gemara says that Abai is in trouble over here because he doesn't even know that he lost these fruits. The Gemara answers, Ha Omar Rav Ukva Bar Chama. We're not dealing with classical Yeush here. He's well aware of the fact that he lost these peros. Is Hachmach Nash the Bey Dori Askinon or the Vizre Askinon, different Girsos. And therefore, the Aveda Midasi, he deliberately has decided to be mafkir these peros. He's not going back to pick them up, as we discussed at great length in Rabbi Yitzchak Kabar Maz. It's too much work and too little kickback. So that has nothing to do with Abai and Rav. I mean, obviously Abai also accepts the halacha, the principle of Yeush Midas. So the Gemara now offers another Toshma, Mos Mefuzaros. You know, he's lost coins. Harel Shalom, the coins have no simon on it. But Amai Holo Yoda Dinofman, again according to Abai, how do you defend and justify this Mishnah because he doesn't know he lost it? And according to Abai, in such cases, no Yeush. Hasam Nami Kid Rabbi Yitzchak. Now we're talking about a different statement of Rabbi Yitzchak. The Omar Rabbi Yitzchak is famous for saying, Onom Osui Lamashmesh Bekiso Bechol Shah Veshah. When a person has a wallet or he has coins in his pocket, he's constantly checking to see that they didn't fall out. Because things have a tendency of falling out from our pockets, as we all know. It's Hachinami, Adam Asa Limash Bekisim Kol Shah. Rabbi Yitzchak made this statement in a slightly different context. Sugya later on that deals with Mos Bimokom Sharab Mitsuyim Sham. But the principle of Rabbi Yitzchak is applicable here in our context. Hachanami Adam Asu the Mashish Vikisim Kol Shah. When a person finds Mos Mefuzarim, he has every right to assume that the one who lost it, these Mos, is aware of his loss, and therefore he was Misyayish. Again, you might ask, maybe he doesn't know about it. And I think the Gemara, by quoting Rabbi Yitzchak, is establishing almost a vadai that he knows about it. Again, according to Abaye, if there's a suffek yeush shel omidas, it's not yeush. The Gemara needs Rabbi Yitzchak to establish adam asli mashpikisim kol shas a vadai. Otherwise, if you have doubts about it, Abaye would still insist it's not yeush. Yeush shel omidas lo avi yeush. And therefore, how can you alter the halacha and allow the finder to pocket the object? Toshma igule dvela v'kikro shel nachtam areil shelo. We go right in the list enumerated by the Mishnah of a davar shein bo siman, and you're allowed to keep it according to Abaye. Amai v'ho lo yoda d'nofal mina. He doesn't even know that he fell. But the answer is that these are very heavy objects. Hosam nami agav diyakire made the yodabu. Since they're very heavy, once they fall, he's very much aware of it. I'm wondering out loud if Peres Mefuzarim is also yakire and it's heavy, so that we can go back to our original understanding of our mission that Peres Mefuzarim is not Yeish Midas, Aveda Midas, but rather he's aware of it, and therefore he's Mesiyash because there is no Simon. What I'm a little bit confused about, I just want to make this point, is in the case of in these cases of Igule Dvela and Kikar Shel Nachtum, that the Gemara says that since they're heavy, he knows that they fell from him. And I don't have a handle exactly on the Metzius here, because if they're so heavy that he's aware that they fell, then doesn't that bring us back to the Sugi of Aveda Midas again? In other words, he knows that they fell. Apparently, there's some sort of time delay here, which I'm not so clear. I'm not so clear exactly how that works. In other words, it wasn't that he knew that they fell immediately, but within a certain time period, he'll find out that, you know, the weight, you know, the absence of the weight, the, you know, the lightness of the burden will finally click. I don't know exactly at what point, and therefore it becomes Yeush Midas, not Yeush Midas in the sense of Aveda Midas, where he was Mafkir, but he was Mesiyash Midas, meaning Midas aware of the fact that he lost these Igule Dvel, etc. Toshma Ulishonos Shelar Gomon is Areu Shalo Amai Holo Yoda Dinofol Mine. Right, these strips of tzemer that were painted colored and dyed crimson. I mean, he doesn't know that he lost them. These are very light objects. They're not heavy objects like the Igule Dvela. It's again Yeish Shel Omidas. Why does the mission establish you're allowed to take it? It's Hosam Nami Agav Dechshive Mashmushe Memashmesh Bahu. This is similar to the case of Mos. A person is very nervous, he's anxious not to lose his mos, he needs that money. Here too, a person is anxious that he shouldn't lose Lashonos Shel Argamon. Again, these were processed wool that were cleaned, and they were made into strips, and they were dyed. I mean, this is a whole to-do, and it's very expensive. He's got to constantly keep his mind on them, his eye on them, to make sure that they're not lost. Ukir Rabbi Yitzchak, like we saw with regard to Mos in Rabbi Yitzchak's frame of reference. Toshma, now the Gemara has left the Mishnah behind for the time being, and now the Gemara is going to a Braisa. Hamotzei Mos, Bebati Knesios, Bebati Midrash, Chol Mokum, Sharab, Mitzuyim, Shavar, Eilu, Shalom, Nesha, Bailam, Misyashim, Mehem. Here it seems that in a public place, if you find Mos, then you're allowed to assume Yeush, and therefore you're allowed to pocket these Mos in a base medrash. V'ho lo yoda d'nofal minei, presumably doesn't know that they dropped it. I mean, it's a little strange. The Gemara has already quoted the Odom Osu L'mashmesh B'kiso B'chol Shah, and that's exactly what the Gemara is going to answer. Let's just read the next few lines of the Gemara. Om Rav Yitzchak Odom Osu L'mashmesh B'kiso B'chol Shah. So why did the Gemara have to go through the same exact Shak L'vitari, same question and answer again? So check out the Tosa on the top of the page, Dima Masel Toshma. he seems to be assuming that this price is a stronger question than the one before, because since the price introduced the element of Rabin Mitzuyim Shalom, Kol Mokum Sharab Mitzuyim Shalom, it must be talking about a case where there's a Dovash Yesh Bo Simon, and nevertheless Yesh is meaningful even though he's not aware of the fact that he lost it. Again, the Gemara's answer is going to be ultimately the same answer, that he is aware of the fact that he lost it, because when we're talking about Mos, the person is always Mimashmesh Bekiso. But the question itself was a little bit stronger than the previous question, because even in Dovash Yesh Bo Simon, the Gemara thinks, is Yesh Lo Midas HaVeYesh. Which is a little bit strange, because even Rava, as we said earlier, would admit and agree that in a Dovash Yesh Bo Simon, Yesh Lo Midas Lo HaVeYesh. But again, we're talking about a case where even though it is a Dovash Yesh Bo Simon, but we're talking about an offense, some sort of way that Derech HaBailim L'Siyayish, sort of like a gray area. Toshma, now the Gemara is going to raise an objection to Abaye from Mesech Tepeya in the case of Leket, which the Torah obligates us to leave behind for the Aniyim. Memasai call other Mutarim B'Leket, but at some point, do the Aniyim give up on the endeavor to try to pick out another few kernels of grains, and then mafke, they give up their rights, and the Bryce establishes Mishielchu ba hanemushos. The nemushos are the last aniyim to go through the field. You know, the aniyim go through the field looking for matnas aniyim, like in Shikampeya. And here we're talking about there were different waves of aniyim, of poor people that go through the field and try to scan the area. Now we're talking about the last of the last, the last of the Mohicans. At the end of the entire line, the entourage here, we have a Nemushos. My Nemushos, I'm Rabbi Yochanan, Save the Azli Atigra. These are the older fellows. You know, they're still poor. They have rights to Leket. And they walk on a Tigra. You know, they have what we call a Shteker. You know, they have a Mishenet in Hebrew, a stick. And when these people go with their stick and they move very slowly, their gaze is focused on every single possible kernel, and they take it all. And as soon as the Nemushos have cleared out, that's when you're allowed to take the leket, because as we'll soon see, there's a premise here of Yeush on the part of the balance, the rest of the Aniyim. Reish Lakish gives a different scenario. Omar, Lakute Basa Lakute. Again, this is not the older people, but there are Aniyim that take along their children, so that their children will help them pick up the leket. And the Lakute Basa Lakute means that after the children have gone through this field very thoroughly, then whatever they left behind is Yerushan. Again, the question really is, on Abai, what kind of Yeush? Amai, Nehi Daniim Dehocha B'Yayshi. You know, it's very logical to assume that the local poor people will give up in despair, because they're very much aware of what's going on in the field, that the Mushos already went through. Lakuti Bosa Lakuti is Ika. But now we have to ask the question, what about the existence of Aniim, of poor people, beduch tachrita? They're in a far off place, and they don't know beans about what's going on here in the field. The lomiyayish, they're not going to give up hope. They know that there's that there still is a possibility of maybe getting some. They're not aware of the There was no fax machine in those days, you know, or the mass media, the social media that we have, you know, to tell the far off Aniyim, forget it, the Nemushos is already there, don't even bother thinking or dreaming about getting anything from this great field. But since they're not aware of it, they didn't get the social media, they're not on Facebook, so they're not Mesiyash. And this would really prove the Shita of Rava, the Yesh Lo Midas HaVeYesh, against Abaye, Amri, the Gemara answers, came in the Ikanim Hocha, Hanach Mei Kara, Ayueshe Miyash, Fiami Anim da Hosam Alaktile. The Anim in far off lands or cities are not even dreaming about coming into this field. They know that there are local Anim who will clean out the field of any Matnas Anim, and therefore they don't even have a Havamina. They automatically up front are Misyashim. So Miman of Shach here, Abaye is covered. As far as the local Anim is concerned, they're aware of Lakute Bas Lakute, or call it Nemushos, and therefore they're Misyash. So it's not Yeish Lomidas. El, you can ask me, but what about the far off Anim and other lands that are unaware of what's going on here, far away, and therefore they're not Misyash? The answer is, from the beginning, Milachatchila they were Misyash, because they, so to speak, authorized the local Anim to clear out the fields in their local area. And therefore they were Misyash from the beginning. One could be a little bit confused if you're saying that Anim from a far off land are ipso facto, from the get-go, they are Misyayish, then what rights do they have to come to pick up Leket Shikupea? You know, we never found that anywhere in the Mishnayis in Peya that, that if Anim come from a far-off city, we have to block them. We don't allow them because of the Yeush. And the answer is that if individual, Yechidei Skula Anim come from far off lands to here to collect, it must be they belong to the exception to the rule. They weren't Misyayish. You know, they were expected to get a, fast pony ride here and be able to collect in this locale. Toshma, we have a Mishnah in Masros. A person finds Ktsios, which are figs that are usually laid out in the sun for purposes of drying them, baderech, and they found them on the road. Vafilu b'tzad stei ktsios, even though it's a privately owned field that's producing, as an orchard of figs, and from the proximity of the road to the field, you can assume that whatever ktsios you found in the field, they belong to that balasode. Imagine the case of a date tree that's privately owned, but the dates curl, they curl over into the derech, into the road. Umatza te'enim tachtel is mutaris mishum gezel, pturis min amaser, but pizesim v'charuvim osur. Now, as far as pturim min amaser, okay, that means that hefker is potter min amaser. As far as mutter min mishum gezel, it's also a result of hefker. And in all these cases, we could assume that, a person is aware of this loss. He's always looking at his te'enim. Te'enim are expensive. And he's aware of the fact, when he finds out about it, that the wind blew some of his te'enim away and they're no longer accessible. That part of the Mishnah Maisus makes absolute sense. And that's what the Gemara says, Bishlema Reisha Labai Lokasha Agav Dechshivi Mamash Beish Behu, that he keeps a careful eye on his ktsios, which are chshive, that have a certain significant value to them, and you can market it and cash in. And therefore, a person is always going to look to see and investigate how his, how his ktsios and te'enim are doing over here. Te'ena nami made the yada dinatra. It's known that if you have a day tree that's located close to the derech, to the road, then some of the dates will fall off the tree and end up on the road. So you can always assume that the Bailam will Messiah from the get-go, and that's not a problem for Abaye. El Seifa. But now let's ask Akasha, and this is the first time the Gemara is asking Akasha on Rava. Diktani v'zeisim charuvim also, you can't take zeisim or charuvim that you find on the side of the road. And why not? The only answer is because the Bailam don't know about it and they weren't Messiahish. Because these objects are a bit less expensive, so there's no Agav Dechshivi made the Yada Denatra. But according to Rava, what's the problem here with taking these Zesim and Charuvim? After all, you can only tell me that the Bialim have not yet been Messiah, but they'll certainly be Messiah when they find out about it, no less than the other cases of Te'edim and so forth. Amar Rabbi Avo, Shiny Zayis, Hol V'Chazusa Mochiach. There's a special reason why in the case of Zayis, of these olives, even though, again, it's a Dover She'ein Bo Sima, but nevertheless, the Bialim are still holding out, and they're not Messiah. And why is that? Because Chazusa Mochiach Olav. If you own an olive grove and I own an olive grove, your olives will look a little differently than mine. You know, we have to check this out with the experts. But that's the Chazusa Mochiach Olav. You know, you just look at it and you know who it belongs to. The Afagav Dinosrin Zesi, even though some of the Zesim, as we said, fell off the tree, is made that yada duchta de inish inishu. Literally means, here it's used a little bit metaphorically, that the place of a person, makomo shel adam, is called by the name of the person. You know, Vilna is called the city of the Gaon of Vilna, and Radin is called the homeland, the village or shtetl of the Chofetz Chaim. And the Gemara is using this as a sort of a marshal to say that every amount, every volume of olives, every group of olives, when they fall off the tree, it's known, you know, who owns those olives. Because again, every olive tree that grows and produces zeisim has a unique mara, chazuso. It produces a zayis that looks a very particular way, and it's not exactly identical to other zeisim. And therefore, since he knows that his zeisim are not similar to his friends, and everybody's going to see where they found these zeisim, and these zeisim look like the zeisim on the tree, they know that it belongs to the Baal HaElan. These olives belong to the owner of the tree, and they're not going to be Messiah if that's public knowledge. Yehochi, the Gemara says, if you're telling me that the Mara Pri is Nikar, you could look at the Pri and know which tree it fell from and who owns it, is Afilu Reisha. Even in the case of Ktzios and Te'enim Nami, we should also say that the Bialim are not Messiah, because they know that the finder will be able to identify them as the owner, because Chazusa Mochiach Olav. So why does the Brisa say Mutaros Mishum Gezel? Amrav Papa Te'ena Im Nefilosanim Eses. When the fig falls onto the ground, it becomes Mos, and therefore the Bialim are Mafkir these Te'enim that fell and got all filth, all dirtied by the ground, or by the Ovrim Veshavim, you know, those who walk the ground. It's interesting that the Gemara, Rav Papa, mentions the Te'eno, not the case of the Ktzios. In the case of Ktzios, as we said before, these were dried figs that were laid out in the sun, and one would wonder why the Nim'eses here applies to something that's dry. So if you'll analyze Tosis, the Ramaschal Upturos, you'll see that Tosis insists that these Te'enim in the Ktzios were not totally dry. There's still some moisture to them. And as a result, Nim'eses, they become Mos. They become, again, I hate to use a very harsh word, but they become despicable for human consumption. And basically, this is a new principle that we're learning as far as Peiros is concerned. Any pre that we can anticipate based on natural law that it's nim'asos, that become repulsive, has the same din of these te'enim and these ktzios. And we're going to assume that the Baal was mafkir, these fruits that became quite despicable, mos. Rishonim are a little bit troubled here because the Braisa makes a distinction between where these Teinim are. If they fell into the Derech, which is public, you know, public road, as opposed to Teinim that fell off the tree and landed in a private Chatzer. If Nefilasa Nim Eses, I mean, that halach of Hefker should apply even in his own private Chatzer. The Rashba offers an answer. He says, Te'enim anotos, the te'enim that fall onto the derech, there is misyayish because he knows that the finder is going to assume that he was misyayish because of the mos. But in regard to those te'enim that fell into his own backyard, his own chatzer, he's not misyayish because he's not choshesh that they're going to go in there. He doesn't assume that anyone will enter into his private property. Now here we're up to Toshma on the bottom of the page. Haganov Shenotal Mizev Nosan Lizer, etc., etc. My suggestion is that we leave this for tomorrow's Shia, and I'll wish everyone a good Mayid, and we'll pick up Mirtz Shem, the bottom of Chaf Alf and Beis, the top of Chaf Beis and Alf tomorrow. Blined.